thank you for your heart. We thank you for your, in Christ, according to the heart of God. That's what we want, Lord. That's where the victory is. And that's the only place we want to learn in Christ is from in Christ. So Holy Spirit, let that be our place of understanding. Let that be the realm of our learning, because you put us there with purpose. You didn't put us, Father, in your Son so we could sit outside of him and try to attain to something or use that position for selfish comfort and passivity. You did it with a heart for him to have one after his kind, not be alone, not be alone. May we not leave him alone by the very thing that God did to bring him one that would be in him. Deal with us, Lord. Clean up in Christ in our hearts. Clean it up and make it his. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not sure where this class is going. The Holy Spirit is usually have a little more clear of a game plan, but he just, I feel like he wants to take this class. So when just a few minutes back there that he began to kind of speak to my heart in a little different angle. And it was in the book of Genesis, and Lord, help me remember what you were saying. It was very clear. And it had to do with Adam in the garden and his desire to, what was his desire in the garden after he named the animals? What was in Adam's heart? What was going on inside of Adam before Eve came around? Yeah. There wasn't one after his kind. So what was the thing Adam was feeling? Hungry?
Lonely.
Okay. Hungry for a cheeseburger? No, he was wanting a wife, or, you know, not to know what a wife was. He just, and that's an interesting point. He didn't know what the word wife was. So his motive wasn't to get a wife. His motive was to not be alone. It's a totally different thing. You see what I mean? His motive, which he's a picture and a type of shadow of Christ, his motive is to not be alone. But after the fall, it could be very easy for someone's motive to be, I want a husband, I want a wife, without the I don't want to be alone thing. It could be for status. It could be for safety, security. There's a thousand reasons why someone wants to get married. Is this not true? Am I crazy right now? Has anyone ever experienced any kind of a feeling that was maybe just not pure, utter selflessness in your motive for a mate? Anyone? Okay. So don't look at me like I'm crazy, please. Or you've never even encountered this realm in your mind. I don't know. You know, I think we all have, like what Randy said, the swirl goes on upstairs. We have that swirly girl or swirly guy deal. And but these things weren't factored in because there was no such thing as, you know, marriage and husband and wife. There's just this dude and a bunch of animals. And, of course, God in his ultimate mercy and crazy way of dealing with us, which isn't always fair, says name the animals and just get really lonely, you know, because God isn't trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. Yeah, he's not like, oh, you're lonely? Well, let me help you. Let's talk about it. Come here. Cry on my shoulder. He's, get out there and name the gazillion animals I just created that are teeming in the heavens and under the heavens, you know, sea and of all different, and then watch them be together in the most incredible ways. You don't even know what that is. What is that? That's called, you know, animals being in animal love. No such thing, because it's got to be something from us to humans and in God's heart first. But, you know, he's like, wow, what is that? That's cool. They do, and I can't even imagine what he's like, seeing these salmon swimming together upstream to have their babies. And crazy things, the mating dances of the cuckoo birds out. And, you know, have you ever seen anybody who watched those National Geographic specials, like really late when you know it's like the only thing on and you're like, I can't sleep. And wow, is this real? It's real. They found that animal. They stuck a camera out there for about a year and discovered the craziest realities of the unknown civilization of animals that are almost extinct. And you're just like, wow, that's crazy. And I wouldn't even believe it, but that person left that camera there for so long that they finally got that is a real thing. That happens when no one's looking. They do that crazy thing. How do they do it? We don't know. It's God put it in them. It's called nature. It's just, it's in them. They don't sit there and go, I'm going to do this. Let's work. Let's practice our synchronized swimming. We're going to have to rehearse for a month. And then when the National Geographic guy comes with his camera, you know, we'll swim together perfectly. Birds, everyone up, and I'll move to the left as a flock, move to the right and kind of just do this crazy thing. I'm going to count to three. Go. The birds just do it. Who knows why? God, I don't know. It's a marvel. They move as one. They fly in unison. It's just, and Adam's watching all that while he's trying to name them. And can you even imagine the not fair feel? And here I sit. I sat in blue. All I can say is boo hoo. So God, you know, so in his heart, he didn't go into this death, this sleep that was likened unto a death, or God didn't use that as a type and shadow of his own heart and his own son. For this reason, I just want this person I don't know is going to exist to feel the security of being justified when they're totally separate from me. I'm asking you to reach into that weird thought and consider it in regards to in Christ and how it's approached by us fallen creatures when our minds aren't renewed and we're not coming out from oneness. Was that motive inside of him? I just need to create a place for all that is not me to run into me and feel safe, even though it's making me want to vomit because it's foreign. I know that's weird, but I think it's worthy of thought. The initial in Christ started in God, in a desire to not be alone, in my opinion, which means nothing. So you should burn this up and you take some stones and throw them at me and correct me. And I'm open for that, actually. I really am, totally. I don't trust myself as far as I can throw me, which isn't very far. But as far as I can sail in any direction, no. You got to only trust the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But this is just a thought. It wasn't there to give selfish creatures that were separate in being and kind a safe place to run and not feel anything. It was there so he would not be alone. So, and it was the first thing that Robert said. So he'd have one after his kind. That was the thing that would make him not feel alone. Not just that he's justifying foreign flesh. Okay? Does any of that negate the reality that we are in Christ by grace, we are saved, and through the work of God we've been put in and accepted in the Beloved? No, none of that negates the stability and the reality of what the Word of God declares happened through Christ's death, that we are in him. Of God we are in him. By grace we are in him. He did that work. And that is a safe place for us. But I think we have to consider from our hearts as the receiving end of this union, his heart, and not just our desperate condition. I really do. I think we're just totally selfish if we only take that approach. It's all about me. It's just so about me, it just starts stinking. I think something in our hearts has to say, what's going on in him, what was in him from the beginning, before time, and then in the first example in Genesis, and then on the cross, and all the way through, what's going on in his heart that he would want to put me there inside of him? What's going on in him? I do not personally believe, nor see it in the scriptures, that his first motive was just to comfort carnal flesh. It's okay. You don't have to worry about your foreignness to me. You just need to feel totally justified, and you can go into passivity because it's just so safe here. I don't think that's what he wants to do. I think that can happen because it's true that we're in him regardless of how we, you know, our take on it. It's true. It's true. We could be passive and selfish and still completely in Christ because it's by grace we are saved. And our salvation includes being, it comes by being in him. All right. But if we're going to do in Christ warfare, it's not going to work if it's all about me. Because faith works by love, and love is the only thing that's going to press you past all that stuff in you that makes you abuse your in Christ relationship with God. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we have to think about him, and we have to think about his heart. And his heart is, I don't want to be alone. And I'm willing to go into a death likened unto Adam's sleep to bring that rib out of me so that I, like all these animals, I would have one after my kind. I would not be alone. This is going on inside of his heart, right? And so she doesn't know that. She, like we talked about last time, she just walks up and doesn't even realize her origin, that her origin is him. But her origin isn't just him in the sense of I came out of you. But she was in him before he died. She was in his heart. What she was in his heart before he died, the she that was one with him, the she that was Lamb's wife, that would be with him in his kind, that would bear his spirit. He didn't have dreams before the foundation of the world, or Adam didn't start having longings in the depths of his heart and soul to have some wild chimpanzee leaping around. Do you see what I'm saying? He's not going, oh, this is what I love, and I'm dreaming at night that I'm going to have this untamed shrew just wreaking havoc on everything holy to me because she's just with me and in me all the time. That's not, do you think he dreamed about that? And it moved him so deep he was going to go into a death to bring that forth? But we should think about him, shouldn't we? I don't want to think about that. It makes me afraid. Well, get over it. Let your love press you past that fear. Why don't you be more concerned about his heart than your fears for just a minute? Take a minute and get over your fears and get into his heart. How about that? Because that's how you're going to get some victory. You're going to stay forever in that realm of you if you don't take a minute and think about him. Amen? Yeah. Take a minute and think about him. If you can't get it by love, you ain't going to get it any other way. Having gone through some hellish stuff in my life, and still to this day, what pulls us through, what pulls me through, starting to think about his heart, not thinking about me. Not thinking about me at all. It don't work. It just puts me deeper down into me. And I don't want to go up and abide in that beautiful realm of him, which is where I am anyway, with a heart full of no thought for him. No thought. It's not about sin. It's not about failure. It's not about the fact that the swirl goes on in all of us, because it does. It's about that being the only thing, the main thing. At a certain point, that has to go down and that heart has to come up, right? Mm-hmm. That heart for Jesus. That heart for Jesus. And you know what happens? A dear one and I were sharing this the other day. When that happens, everything changes. It's like a whole universe opens up that wasn't there before. It's the universe of him and oneness and real in Christ goodness in the vine, vine in the branchness. And it's, wow, it's the paradise. You're in paradise. You're in paradise because you're in him, the paradise of God, you know? And so when Adam went into that death, a dream was being fulfilled, a need deeper than anything we could ever dream of as it is in God was about to be begun to be satisfied. And she was that. She was that. And all these frailties and all these issues and all these fears and all this serpent and all this tree of knowledge of good and evil, which brings in all these issues, which brings in all this poison, which brings in all this swirl, which brings in all this selfishness. He knew that was going to happen. He was okay with that. He was okay with the wildness of what she was going to have to go through to get back to him in the way he needed her. Because he saw the heart behind that. It was everything he died to get. And every step of the journey to get there, from bone to abiding body member, from walking around rib to planted right over that heart, do you see, and bearing it, carrying it, flowing with it, every step of that crazy was going to form that heart in her, test that heart in her, divide that heart in her, bring it closer, draw it out. Do you see what I'm saying? All of that pressure is going to bring that pearl. Isn't it funny that God was not afraid to throw that one that he died for, to bring forth into all that crazy, to get her with him in the way he was with her? So he went through hell, literally, and deaths to get us in him. He did that. I mean, he did it. It's not a doctrine. It's a thing. God became man, and he did that. He did it as a man. That's intense. It's intense what he went through as a man. God went through as a human. And for her, once she's taken out of him like that rib, if she's walking around like the Eve that doesn't know where she came from, and all of a sudden she's encountered with her own weakness, her own frailty, maybe her own barrenness, her own susceptibilities, her own now poison from eating the tree, the enemies. She's walking around with all of that. And he isn't all of a sudden going, I just want an angel. No, this human thing was a bad idea. Give me one of those angels. They're so much easier to deal with. I don't believe he ever had that thought. He liked the setup, in my opinion, and things that were shared from the pulpit, through classes, counseling things, and all my walk through here, seeds that were sown that caused me to think in this direction towards the heart of Jesus. I don't believe I originated these things. I think things came from leadership, from pastoring, from counseling, from the word that I heard into the heart of Jesus, from the gift of the things that are released in this place, and from things that Randy has shared. I believe that Jesus is more than just okay with that crazy journey back to him, back to him. Not that we're not in him, we're the rib the whole time, right? But back to relating to him in the place of being in him, in the place where he died to get her. I don't think he's as upset about that as we are, or as freaked out about it as we are. He knows her as his rib. He bears the scars. He knows that came out of me. That's me. He's never confused about it. He's never confused about it. He never stops and goes, okay, that's a foreign woman. That's something from the dirt. That's the first creation. That's just a sinful, you know, he never changes. The foundation is sure. He knows who we are the whole way from here to there, the whole journey of knowing who we are in Christ and relating in oneness. He knows we're in him. He knows we came out of him. He knows we're his bone, we're his flesh. He never struggles with that. We do, because we get under the law and we get under our own measuring of ourselves by what we do and don't do and bring. He never does. He never does. He always sees us. But we'd have to come to him to find that view, wouldn't we? Yeah. We'd have to leave Crazyville and take a walk into the heart of God and see through his eyes. But because we're in him, we can. Because we're in him, we can. We have access to everything. The bride has access to all of it. She's got full access. But daggummit if we're not so into ourselves that we don't go there. And I'm speaking to myself. And can I say this? Shame on me. When he's given us full access to his heart and view, and we just walk around in our own mind all day long, when we could run into him and be safe from what? Ourselves. We have a city of refuge. It's called the heart of Jesus. We can run in there at any moment and be safe because that's where we are. We have open doors. They're open wide. Come on in. That door is his cleft side. Those wounds. We could go there any time and start seeing it from his view. And if we saw ourselves through his eyes, we would see that you are bone of my bone. You are flesh of my flesh. What man yet hateth his own body, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, washes it, cleanses it, right? And so we can come and we can receive that, not just counsel, but that, not just identity, but that flow. Because it's more than teaching. It's more than words. It's more than I'll hold on to that. It's so, you're in there getting it. I mean, it's a whole different ball game when you start receiving it through oneness. It's like, oh, no man hath taught me. I got it from the head. From a place of being in the head. In body, I'm joined. And it's different. Now, the devil's going to have a hard time taking it away from you. I'm going to have a hard time. You would have never got there if you didn't put him first. Got that view, because you walk on in, find out, what do you think? What do you say? And you not, don't tell me. Show me. Show me where? From within you. I want to see it from within you. My God, when we see just one thing from within him, straight through oneness, nobody going to take it from you. No darkness is going to take that light. No one's going to shake it out of you. I am telling you, God is going to shake heaven and earth and the things that are under the earth, and he will not shake that stuff out of you. But you don't just walk there on a pleasant day with no... You're going to have to get that honey out of the rock, man. And there are going to be bees biting your arm. It's highly contested. There's a price for going. It's called denying yourself. Picking up your cross. And saying, I am dead and I am not the source. He is my life. I'm in him. And my soul is not my identity or my reality, my way of knowing. He is my way of knowing. He's my eyes. He's my heart. He's my mind. And it's not a doctrine. It's not a I don't want to know what the mind thinks. I want to have the spirit of my mind renewed by oneness from being inside of him and him being inside of me. I want to have everything I have through that place of being in Christ. My God, then everything you have, you possess. Because you got it through oneness. That's what being in Christ gives us. Access to the goodness of the land of promise. The son of his love. Eve doesn't know that. So she's just all, whatever, this, that, and the other. And we were talking about that last class. Well, here's another picture. Now that we've gotten kind of heavy and our hearts are probably like, we shouldn't be. We should be excited. We should practice not hearing through fear, but hearing through love. Can we just pray that right now? Because if you're going to be an in Christ warfare, we're not going to just teach stuff now. We're not talking. We're just not flapping the lips. We're getting after it, right? So if I'm up here, Sharon, doing this, and I don't feel good, and I'm in sickness, and I'm pouring out Jesus, can you do that back? Can you do that back? Let's do it. Let's go. Let's go beyond ourselves. Let's get after it. Amen? Lord, we don't want to approach everything by fear. We believe that there is a way because of your life in us. We can take a step and we can begin to approach things by love for you. That we can find your heart in new ways because we are inside of that heart. We are one with you, Jesus. And you open that up. You gave us access so that we could find you through oneness. That we could know you by oneness. That we could experience what you feel, what you see, your eyes, your mind, your view. Lord, we're willing to go through a big old beehive to get the honey out of the rock. Lord Jesus, we're willing to deny our view of ourselves to find who we are in your eyes and in your heart and to hold on like in a branch abiding with all of its tendrils cleaving in to the vine. Your heart will hold on to it. We won't drop it every 5 minutes. We'll hold on to it. And if we drop it, it's okay because it's still beaten and won. But we want to hold you, Lord. We want to find you, Lord. What we would not do for ourselves, we will do for you. It will motivate us out of old ways of approaching things. Love is stronger than death. Many waters cannot quench it. Lord Jesus, it can go through anything because that's the thing that's defining the death of your son to bring us forth and the power of that motive, this eternal spirit that gives itself utterly. Oh, Father, we're of that spirit. We're of that way. We're of that way of proceeding. We're not selfish people. We've been born again. We're of the divine nature. We're partaking of it. Lord, we can just take a little straw and draw into us from within Christ that spirit of the way he loves and gives and proceeds. Then that one little aspirin-sized drink of his nature will begin to change us from the inside out. If we just take one of those aspirins a day, we will have something in us that's different. It's him. And we can fight from that flow of life. We can stand by the one who stands in us. Lord, we'll have the power of Jesus, the power of an endless life to begin to hold us where we cannot hold ourselves. So Lord, we press in right now. We press in. And Father, all the enemies that come and stand on the gates and cry out like Sanballat and Tobiah, and they speak things to incur fear and disbelief, and they speak vile things.
Lord, we do not listen to them. They can shout as loud as they want, but we hear the word of the Lord. We hear the counsel of the Godhead. We believe the truth of the cross and the realities of his heart and being. And we say amen to you, Lord. We say amen. We bow our soul and our unrenewed mind down and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. That I belong to him. I am part of him. I've been bought with a price, purchased with scars. I am his body. I am not my own. I am not my own. I am not my own. And Lord, let the Spirit of God begin to move in our hearts in new ways. New ways out of love and honor for our husband. Out of care and desire for the things that are important to him. No matter how we feel about ourselves. Good, bad, ugly, high, low, whatever. Just let it be about him, Lord. Draw us out of ourselves into the one we are, him. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move inside of us for Jesus' sake. Inside of us for Jesus' sake. In his name and not our own. Amen. Amen. Well, we were, I forget who I was. Oh, it was someone, I won't say whose name, sharing on the phone the other morning. And the Lord brought to my remembrance, I think something Randy shared a long time ago, but it was a picture of Eve walking in the garden with God. And I know Adam walked in the garden with God, so it's maybe not fully scriptural, but Eve was there in him. You know, I don't know. But nonetheless, Eve is there walking with God in the garden, and it's before the fall. That's why this isn't purely scriptural, because, you know, maybe she did walk with God before the fall a little bit. Sure, I guess that could be tangible. So he's walking with God, and I don't know if I'm remembering the exact way Randy shared this, but this was the imagery that I got in my crazy mind many years later, was that we all think of Eve as this, like, gorgeous 10, I don't know how to put it, like this model. She's just she has to be the most beautiful woman who was ever created, ever. Miss Universe looks like a dog compared to Eve. She is the ultimate woman, right? Not a blemish, nothing, no imperfections. The Bible never says that. It never said that Eve was like a high-end model, just the most and so then this picture that I got in my mind, and I, you know, it's like she was just, you know, it was not a good thing. it wasn't just bad, it was awful on the looks level. She had problems with acne, a severe weight issue. It was bad. No, this is before the fall, so she's walking around there naked with God, and she's just like any old girl would be. She's just talking away. You know what? Da 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 da. What do you have? Oh, yeah, that's great. And they're just talking. She's free as a lark. She's just listening and singing and talking and laughing. Oh, he's great, God, and everyone. Oh, this is wonderful. And they're just together. They're loving it. They're having sweet fellowship, right? And God just enjoys this. He's like, here we go. I can share my heart with you. You're just listening. You're receiving. You're talking. You're not caring. You're just, you know, we're just together. I'm able to just impart, speak, have great fellowship. And then, of course, she eats the apple. The fall happens, and she knows she's naked, and she just goes, she just runs far away. It's time for fellowship, and she, oh, no, no, no. She is looking for the first weight loss program, and I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to do my whatever they do. I'm getting on the program, and I'm working it hard, and when I'm down to a certain weight and the acne medicine has worked, then I'll go back and have communion with God, but for now, it's fig leaves and hiding. In a constant day at the gym. You know what I mean? And God's like, where is she? I miss her. I love our times together. They were like so sweet to my heart. And she was getting to know me. I mean, she was becoming, you know, she's gone now. And she's like, oh, he does not want to spend time with me. I am like, not. And God forbid, naked, no way. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if I have like a tent and a mask and I just walk in shame and just nod. You know, he's like, where are you? Where are you? He even said that, didn't he, in Genesis? Where are you? You know, we're hiding because we know we're self-awareness. What a booger bear that is for the Lord's heart. It's just not fair for him. He's supposed to say this ain't fair. Now we've got to go to this whole realm of I'm going to have to deal for thousands of years with your shame and guilt so I can just get a little time with you, you know? I'm going to have to die to make this thing change, he's thinking, and he did. You know, but it's all different now. Because why? Because she's it's all about me. And who gets robbed? What would she say? Well, I do, because now I have to work at the gym, and I hate exercising. It's my life is ruined. Your life is exactly the same as it was before the fall. You just now think you're just looking at yourself now all the time. In God's eyes, what's changed? The relationship has changed, yeah, but that's based on her. And yes, there's aspects of the fall and this and that, but I'm just talking on a purely self-aware, just that one aspect. So he misses her. He misses this. He misses this. And she's just out there trying to get in a place where she can come back to be with him. But here's the deal. The only real changes, if there were issues there in her that needed to be changed, if there were things that needed to be brought into what he would call beauty, which is not what we call beauty, it's only going to happen by being with him. His love is what's going to change her. Now listen, his love is what's going to change her. She cannot change herself. She wouldn't even know what to change into because she doesn't even know what he likes. What if he really likes acne? And she's out there trying to clean it up. He's like, I love acne. I know it's weird. It's my preference. And you're out there cleaning it up. You're going to come back here and I'm going to be like, where's my acne? I like a little weight. Where's that weight? Now you're so skinny. Ah, get away. Ugly. You lost all that weight. I like the weight. We don't know up from down. We don't know why, because we go by what we think. This is what's pretty. This is what's ugly. This is what's Jesus. This is what's godly. This is what's Christian. This is how I should behave. We haven't a clue who she is. She that bears his image. Because we can't spend enough time with him for our own shame. So we're off trying to figure it out, do it, clean ourselves up before we can come back to him and just get really disappointed because he doesn't like anything he sees. But if we were just with him, he'd do all that. He'd do all the changing. He'd do it through oneness. He'd impart into her. He'd form her. He'd wash her. He'd share his heart with her. Pour his word into her. She'd start conforming to his image, not to her own idea of that image, from a separate place of hiding. So he really loses a lot. He lost his clay that he was going to form. He was going to form that clay with his nail-scarred hands, make it into that vessel that was going to be just right for him. But he can't now because she's hiding. And she's trying to form herself into what he needs, and she has not a clue. Why? Because she's not with him. She's over there, separate, hiding, trying to figure it out with what? Her own mind. And that's a depressing place, isn't it? It's not a fun place. And yet, you're thinking you're holy, righteous, and you know, you're, I don't know, fulfilling some suffering program to gain access. I don't know. If I'm depressed long enough and I suffer long enough in solitude with good motives of trying to be what he wants, then maybe he'll just go, wow, you really went through a lot. He's looking for what was in his heart. He's the only one who knows what that is. His death brought it forth. It's who she is. She just doesn't know yet. She's got to come to the source to get it. Abide in me, and then I'll abide in you. How much more fun is oneness? I love being with Jesus as opposed to being the depressed pit of Demonville in my mind, trying to figure it out in religious methods of earning it in ways that I can't even do. Okay, I don't know. It never worked for me. And I love being with Jesus because I'm in him and he's in me, and it's like everything I live for and want to die for and my world's without end future. I'll just go there. It's awesome. I can't say enough about it. I just promote it all the way to, it's just the best. But she has to find his heart in that. She has to find his heart in that. And here's the other half of it. So let's just say there's a few more ladies created walking around the garden. I know she's got to have kids. They have to have wives. They have to have kids and all that jazz. But nonetheless, let's just say there's a couple other ladies show up. We don't know where, but they just do.
And they look what she thinks is a lot better than her. So now it isn't just about her own image issues. Now she's comparing herself. Well, that lady's skinny. Well, and that woman has no acne. And man, look at the way she's a little tall and a little short. I don't know, maybe that's... And now she's not just thinking about how she failed him, but how she's not good enough based on them. So now she's all comparing herself with everyone around her and looking at herself. And can you see the crazy that's going on? She's just so enwrapped and encaptured in anything but his heart. Like, it's like everything that could distract her from the one thing that matters is just on fire, driving her in all directions except towards him. And I think that's what happens in our life. I think that's what happened in Esther's story. I really do. I think, you know, everyone's trying to figure out what the king likes, and they're all going to do it for the king so that when that one night with the king comes, I'm the winner because I look good, because I know what good is, and I know what the best-looking woman around here should look like, and so I'm going to be the winner, and I'm doing it based all on what I think's beautiful, what society thinks is beautiful, what the women in this crazy atmosphere of women beautifying themselves together think is beautiful. And this idiot child who has just got nothing, all she's got is the Holy Spirit who keeps bringing her what his idea of beautiful is and adding that to her. She's the only one who's got any kind of hope in any way of making it through, because she's the only one who's letting what's in him have some effect on her preparation. She's the only one who's letting what's in him have some effect on her preparation. Now, everyone in that room, if all the virgins in Shushan voted, they probably would have voted on a girl that it was not Esther. She's the one. She's got the personality. She's got the spirituality. She's got the physical attractiveness. She's got the giftings. She's going to be the queen. And I bet Esther would have been the one they all would have said, there ain't no way he's going to want her. Mm-mm. She's not what we call pretty. She's kind of, you know, and I don't know, all these weird things that she's calling beauty. I don't know what kind of husband she thinks this lamb is, but we don't call that beautiful. Oh, you know, he's going to freak out when he sees her. Not knowing that her only source has been the Spirit applying him to her. Because we don't know what he likes. The Spirit knows. We don't know. The Spirit knows. And we won't know unless we let the Spirit show us, and we won't know unless we go to his heart and find out, and we need those walks in the garden with Jesus. It's not, you know, we're not two separate entities walking through a garden, but in our heart, we're walking like in the Song of Solomon. We are with our beloved, and we're walking in the garden of his heart, and we're communing in oneness. And he's sharing his heart with us. We need those walks in the garden with Jesus. And we need to hear his heart. And we need to let the Holy Spirit breathe what's in his heart into us. And we need to let God add to us the things that God sees from what's in his heart. And we need to use that to fight against our shame, our guilt, our religion, our separation, our comparing one another with each other based on a wisdom and a view that's not his. Because when you get his heart on these things from inside of him, you've got weapons against all those enemies. And they are powerful weapons. They're not carnal. They're not flesh. They're not soul. They're spiritual. They're him. And you can take down things that destroy you every day, right? But it's not about us being destroyed. That rob him every day of his wife, of that fellowship, of that communion, of that flow, of that manifestation, of that desire. It's not in our heart to do that. No one's doing that on purpose. But that's why the Spirit comes, to help us think about Jesus, right? He does that because that's who he is and how his heart is. He always thinks about Jesus' needs. He feels Jesus' feelings. He knows Jesus' deep and inward desires. And he comes back to us like he came to Rebecca to get a bride for him. And he's saying, get off of yourself and think, self-forget. Don't be so concerned about you. Let's talk about Isaac. Let's get on that camel and let's ride to him. Let's not think about things that were past. Let's forget our father's house. Let's forget that old person that you used to be in Haran. Let's forget what happened back there. Let's think about Isaac's tent. Let's think about what's going on in his heart. Let's think about your seed that will be like millions because it will be Christ. That's a prophecy over Rebecca. Your seed will be as millions because it's Christ in a shadow and type. Because it comes from that which is the seed himself, Isaac. All of this is behind the veil of his tent. But that tent is still veiled to you, so you have the Spirit to take you in behind the veil, in Christ, in the realm of oneness, where the seed can be your view, your way, your future, your family, your lineage. He'll speak things to you more wonderful than we can have words for. He'll speak things in your heart about what's in God's heart that were, oh man, I can, words that are spirit and life. Too wonderful is what David said. You have shown me wonderful things out of thy law. And if you read Psalm 119, you can hear the depth of the effect on the man who sought God's heart and found it in the scriptures and in the law and the precepts. In all the different things. Read Psalm 19. He said that it's like a bridegroom. The circuit of the sun from morning to night is like the course of a bridegroom going to gain his bride. And in the height of day, his laws purify her. The sun beating down on her soil, exposing her flesh, is getting her ready for him. And in the psalmist's view, it was a beautiful thing. It was a betrothal. Do we see the law like that? Can we see it beating in and bringing forth a separation of what we used to be so that him who is now our husband and life and image can come forth in ways we never dreamed? That we shine like the sun. It speaks of it in Ezekiel, she'll shine like the sun. The earth will shine. Well, that's the groom speaking. What is in Christ to Christ? Why is it to Christ? If we come from that place, we won't abuse it. We won't. We'll use it for the glory of God. We'll use it for the increase of Christ. So let's end with these scriptures. It's in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of our soul and our spirit. It divides our joints and our marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, so when the word of God comes like a double-edged sword and starts dividing out what's Christ in you and you and shows what your motives are compared to what his motives would be, how do you think you feel when that happens? Yay? No, and that's sarcasm. That's real sarcasm. You feel undone and like, oh my gosh, I'm a disaster. Look at. Yeah, it's bad. I mean, in the sense of you just feel like Eve felt when she ate the apple for a minute. You just so are aware of that contrast of you and him. Well, let's look at the next verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But everything and all things are naked. There's that naked and open to the eyes of him in whom we have to do. Well, here it is. We are naked before him. And all that ugly that was divided out by the word is right there, right in his face. We don't think that. We think, man, when I spend time with the Lord, all he sees is my incredible heart of love. The depth of my spirituality. The only motive he's seeing is that I'm in the Word right now. I'm crying. I'm seeking God because I love him. And that's all he sees. And he says, no, the one you have to do with, you're naked. He sees it all. He sees the soul and the flesh and the motive and the intent, the joint and the marrow. He sees all of it. And yet he still calls us his own. You're my bone.
How can I be your bone? You just divided out my motives. You just saw what my soul is like. And now you're looking at me and saying we're one based on your death? Yeah. Well, he's not dividing all that stuff out just so he can say, I love your flesh. I love your evil motives. This is what I died for. Let's just, you know, stay this way. No. But he's not saying it to shame you away from him either. He's trying to say, I know all the junk that you're trying to hide from me. I know all the junk you're trying to hide from me, and I don't want you running behind the fig leaves, going to the gym and putting your acne medicine on. I want you to come boldly right here. The one you have to do with knows, and it never affected me. I always loved you, and I always saw you in oneness. I saw my son in you. In oneness doesn't mean all my junk is now one with Jesus. No flesh gets behind the veil. It's crucified. There's no contamination in Christ. We are contaminated. We are corrupt. He crucified and buried and removed our flesh in the circumcision of God, and none of it goes in Christ. In Christ, it's all Christ is the fullness thereof. But we're there, and all that stuff has been dealt with, but maybe not fully formed in our walk and in the way he manifests through us down here. Jesus sees it all. He sees the reality in his heart. He sees the death he died, the finished work. He also sees where it's at in us right now in conformity. And yet he doesn't change. There's stability there. But what does he do? I love this part. 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us what? Cry in depression over our flesh. It says, let us hold fast our profession. Now, come on. Is that a scripture? Can that be the word of God in our lives? Let us hold fast our profession that I'm a wretched mess. No. That we are in him, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, but without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This scripture has been just resonating in my heart for weeks. Another situation that it came up in. Here's the deal. He's saying, so you're naked, so you're undone, so you see all the stuff in you that's not me from the law of contrast as the word of God has gone forth like a two-edged sword and divided it out in you. I see it. I know it. I'm not pushing you away from me. I know you in me, but here's the deal. Run boldly into the throne of grace to get help in time of need. What is the help? And what is the need? The need is I need it to be Jesus in me. I don't want all these motives. I don't want all this soul. I don't want all this flesh rolling around when I'm with, you know, when I'm his. My need isn't for you to help Aunt Sheila's hurt leg. My need isn't my finances. My need isn't even my soul that's freaked out. My need is to give you one after your kind. And I can't do it because I'm a mess. So Jesus, you're my great high priest, and I'm coming to the throne of grace, which is really, I'm just coming to the place where I'm in you. And I'm saying, you're the head of the body, to pour into me your spirit. Fill me with your life. You are the answer. You are the help in time of need. You are the head of the body that I am a part of. So flow into me, great high priest, and give me your life in these areas. Change me into your image. Less of me and more of you, Jesus. More of you and less of me. Do it by oneness. Do it now at the throne of grace, that place where it is finished. You've been raised up. We have been raised up and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the throne of grace where we're seated. It's a throne. We're seated in him. He has died and he has a new body, and that body is his resurrected body, and we are the members of that body. We're part of that new man. And as such, when we go to the throne of grace, we're seated there in him based on Ephesians chapter 1. So if we're going to approach that throne of grace for some help, we're going to say, hey, based on who you are right now, which is the new man, I'm a member of you. And the help I need right now is for you to be the life of this body, for you to be as my head, fill me. So I am running this overweight, acne-filled, flesh-ridden, bad motive, whatever, divided out, fearful thing. I'm running to you, not away from you to the fig trees. I'm running to you and I'm saying, fill me up boldly in time of nakedness, peril, distress, flesh, fear, demons, lack, failure. Where do I run? I run to the rock that is higher than I run into him who is my life. I come to the throne of grace and I say, give me your life. I'm not running away trying to fix it. I'm running into him and I'm going to be glad because the righteous run into him and they are glad. They are filled. They find life evermore in his right hand. They find life at the right hand of God at the throne of grace. They find the Son. My God, I'm not going to be Eve in the garden running to the fig tree. I'm going to be the new creation body of Jesus, a member of that, and I'm going to run into him in the worst hour of my life when I shouldn't even think I'm allowed there because I'm such a mess. And I'm going to say, here I am, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, member of your body, throne of grace where I am seated in Christ. Fill me up with your spirit right now. I behold the Lamb of God who is my head and my nature, my life, and I am receiving abundance of grace whereby I might reign in life by one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his of his fullness we have received. And that grace for grace, Lord, you said it was true. You said it was by grace. Now fill me up because we're one. And I mean, in the worst hour of your life, the worst crisis, you can run to that throne, naked as you are, undone as you are, vile as you are, and you can say, you died, and I'm in you. Let's use that in Christ for your glory. Fill me up by grace, and I'm coming boldly. I ain't apologizing. I ain't sneaking around with guilt and shame all over me, begging you to do this. You did it. I'm looking in your eyes. You know who I am. I'm in you. You know who you are, the head of your body. Let's do this. I'm in. He'll do it. That's in Christ's warfare. That's in Christ's warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, we are going to use in Christ for the glory of God. Lord, we want a new garden, a new heart, a new approach to the throne, a new oneness relating with the Lamb that is not based on our condition, our nakedness, our fear, our past, our old ways, our flesh that's being divided, anything. We want to come to you based on your heart and the way you see us, based on your death and who we are in you. And we want to come to you in every moment, every weakness, every failure, every time of this, that, the other. And there's nothing that can separate us. And we want to draw from you who we are, the Spirit of the Lamb. We want to draw from you who we are, the heart of Jesus. We want to be formed after your image because we've come to you as the potter. We want to come to you as the husband who washes. You're the only one who knows. So, Lord, we want to change our evil ways. Yes. And quit running away from the answer. Yes. And trying to do it on our own for him. And getting everything wrong because we don't have a clue. We come to you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask that that you would come like Eliezer. And that you would gather us up into that place where we can begin, like the helpers at Shushan did. Help us to get in tune with what's in him. If we can't get into the tent right now, get us in tune. Get us in the right direction. Start us in the right path towards his heart. We need all the help we can get, Lord. And you sent the Holy Spirit, Father, since this Jesus was raised with a body, you send him down to help her. Figure it out. Get there in her understanding, in her ways, in her being, in her conformity, that it would be him. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Spirit, soul, and body. Lord, convict us of things that we wouldn't even call sin, but things that affect your heart. Ways that we approach you that are worse to you than sin is. And let us not get caught up in guilt and shame. Let us fight that. And let us get caught up in your love, your needs, and the boldness to approach you to get help through oneness when we don't have it in ourselves. Formed already by your life. So we say yes and amen, Lord. We thank you. We love you and we honor you. We honor you and we respect you in what you have done and who you've made us in your Son and by your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.